You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, If You Please. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Let me start by asking, while you're looking for that, a few questions. First one, are you a people pleaser? Do you spend your life worrying about what other people think and trying to please them? And if they're not happy, then really you're not happy, because if they're not happy, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So it's this constant people pleasing. Or, second question, are you a you pleaser? It is all about me. I really don't care about anybody else. I'm going to do what feels good to me. I'm going to find people that I can use to make me feel good. It is all about me. Or the third question, are you really a God pleaser? Think about this scenario. Every time you ask your kids to do something, they just do it. Okay, now listen to your reaction to what I'm saying and remember that. And think about even your grown children, that if they actually came to you for advice and they thought you had good advice and they asked you for your advice and you said, well, I've prayed about this, whatever you do, here's what I suggest you do. They go, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to go do that. How crazy would that be? Now, what's the reality? We're always on our kids. Why? Because they got a will and we're not always in their will. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And you can spank them, you can ground them. But no matter what, they're going to do what they want to do. And as parents, sometimes you go, why is this so hard? Why can't they just get it? Why don't they understand? If they would just obey, the whole thing would go so much smoother. And then you hear that echo coming back from heaven with grown people like us. And we are the children. And he is the father. And he says, okay, here's simply, you know, I've given you a bunch of it right here in a book. Read the book, should be simple, follow the directions, and when you follow the directions, I'm happy. If I'm happy, you're going to be happier. You might not be happy all the time, but doing it your way, you're not happy all the time either. So why don't we just do it my way? And stop praying, not your will, my will be done, but start praying, not my will, your will be done. Well, that's easy. Let's just all agree to do that. Raise your hand if you're willing to do that, and then we'll end the service right now. I mean, what would that even be like today? You know, maybe you guys have these kids. I got some great kids, but if all the time they're coming in and, hey, I was going to go outside and play, but is there anything I could do for you before I go out? Now, see, we get it going towards our kids, but it's so hard to get going towards God. Why? Because I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I want God to love me, be merciful to me. The second I sin and decide I think I've screwed up, I want to be able to run right in that throne and say, hey, by the way, yeah, all that stuff I did, you need to clean that mess up. Because that's the deal, right, God? Okay, Dad, get your people over here, clean this up. Because I deliberately did it again, and what are you going to do about it? Because you already told me in your book that you're going to love me no matter what, you'll never leave me, forsake me, so you can't kick me out, so I'm here to stay. Now you think, well, what kind of kid would have that kind of attitude? That's how we live. That's what it looks like in heaven. Premeditated sin, just this, you know, kind of up yours, God. Just approach like, hey, what are you going to do? And we treat our parents that way sometimes. What, are you going to throw me out? And then all of a sudden God starts doing his thing. And he chastens those that he loves. And if you are his child, you say, well, I'm getting away with everything. Let me tell you something. You don't get away with anything. Amen. There is always consequence. It may not be what you thought it was going to be, but there's always consequence. Now let's read through a bunch of these. 1 Samuel 12, first of all, the people had asked for a king. They get a king. They get Saul. Verse 23, for the Lord will not forsake his people. For his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. You have to understand that just from scratch, God is thrilled that we are his people, that we are his children. So he's not trying to get rid of us. You look at mankind in general, you go back into the book of Genesis, and almost from scratch, they messed up so bad, he wipes the whole planet out except for 8 people, keeps all the animals, but wipes the people out and leaves a remnant and then rebuilds. God loves people. Jesus died for people. Okay, so you have to understand kind of fundamentally, he is on your side. He is trying to help you. And it pleased him. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. So this is not a bad thing from God's point of view. He didn't keep receipts. He's not going to take you back, you know, turn you in, you know, kick you out. Once you're in the family, you're in the family. Now that may be rough on the family, but you're in the family. Go to the next passage, Proverbs 15:8. Turn there with me. It's all going to be from left to right, should be. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. There is nothing like someone that's right with God, walking with God, talking to God, and thanking him, praising him, whatever it is. Man, that just, I don't know if God gets goosebumps, but I'm, you know, kind of like God goosebumps kind of thing. Like, wow, my kids get it. They're talking to me again. They're praising me. They're thanking me. They get this relationship. It's two ways. It's not just me doing everything all the time. Go to Isaiah 53. And this, by the way, is a prophecy describing what would happen to Jesus when he came, describing Jesus in great detail and how he would die and what was put on him. All right, here we go. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's nothing necessarily that attracted him. You say, well, you know, attractive people attract people to God. It doesn't matter what you look like. It matters who you are. You say, well, I don't look right. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too short. I'm too weathered. Let me tell you something. Jesus trumps all that. You move God inside somebody and they become the most beautiful thing on the planet because he starts shining through them, just bursting through them. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And look at this verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, is God some kind of masochist now? Like he's getting off on, oh, I'm going to hurt him and that'll make me happy. Why would God want to hurt Jesus? Because he loves you. And I'm going to have to put this on somebody, so I'm going to send my son down there. He's willing to go. He'll die. He'll suffer. He'll go through all this. And it pleases me because when we get done, I'll get to rescue them and get them back because they're scattered sheep. They're lost. They got no hope without me. And I made them, and they screwed up, and I'm not leaving them alone. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Go to Matthew chapter 3, New Testament, Matthew chapter 3. Jesus goes to be baptized, not for sin. He's just being baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, after John the Baptist has baptized him, let's do 16 first. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can you say that about your own kid? Now let's get God the Father up here, and let's put you next to him, and let's see if he says that about you. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You say, but he can only say that about Jesus. Let me tell you something. I got Jesus. So he should be able to say that about me. Now here's the simplicity of what I'm trying to get at today. Why could he not say that about you? What are you holding on to? What is it that you've locked up on? What is it that you just know for a fact? And it's not going anywhere. You know your life is not pleasing to God because you just won't let go. I just won't. And this is us. This is not you and me. This is us. And if I wake up in the morning and I go, wow, God, I got another day. Here we go. And you just stopped right there and you said, thank you for loving me, for giving me life, for breath, for another day. And Lord, if there's anything that is not pleasing about me to you, you can take it. I'll confess it. I'll get rid of it. I'll do whatever you say. My heart's desire is to please you. And then whatever it is he brings to mind, you get it cleaned up and you live your day. What a crazy way to live. Who wouldn't want to live that way? And why don't we live that way? Because we are so convinced that he is going to take something away from us and make us miserable. Think about whatever it is you're holding on to. Is it making you happy? It's not working. Because if you've locked in on something and you're holding on to something, you know what? You're going to die holding on to that, and it's going to consume the only life you've got. Because you believe that your plan, your pleasing you or pleasing the people around you is going to make you happier than pleasing God. It is tremendous relief to get that junk off of you. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Go to John chapter 8. And doing this study and trying to prepare this, it's very fascinating. Once you go looking for these things in the Bible, how much is in the Bible about this? John chapter 8, verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, and talking about him being crucified, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. And look at why. For I always do those things that please him. You know why Jesus didn't just show up? Part of the reason he didn't just appear on the planet at 33, kind of like, I'll give you a weekend. I'm only leaving heaven for a weekend. That's all you people are going to get. Maybe I'll come in early on a Thursday. I'll have dinner with you. I'll let them arrest me, beat me up, crucify me, bury me, raise me from the dead. I am out of here. I am tired of you people being down here in this mess. No, he gets born here like we get born. He lives in this mess and demonstrates that you can live a life that pleases the Father, not for a few minutes or a few days, for a prolonged period of time. You say, well, he's Jesus. I'm not Jesus, but I've got Jesus in me if I'm a Christian. So what was impossible is now possible if I will just let him live in me and through me. This is not about you living the Christian life. It's about Christ in you living the Christian life. So you wake up every day and say, Jesus, I guarantee you I'm going to screw this up without you. You've got to take over right now because without you, I'm toast. And I know you're the only one that knows how to live a life that pleases the Father. So show me how. I yield my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my mind, my soul, my heart, my body, every inch of me. I yield to you. Use me however you want to use me. But make sure when we get to the end of this day that my life has pleased him. What a day. What a crazy way to live. Romans chapter 15, verse 3, and this is just a little phrase here, but fascinating, talking about Jesus. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So then what happens to you? When you decide you're going to please the Father, you stop focusing on pleasing yourself. Now, why is that possible? Because the assumption when you trust God is that you can't take better care of you than God can take care of you. And what people think is, if I yield everything, I'm going to end up with jack, with nothing. I'll never do anything fun again. I'll never get to go anywhere. I'll never get to have anything. I'll never eat steak again. I mean, I don't know what you think, but I'll never have anything again. He's not that way. He does exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever even ask or think. If you're a dad, you should get this. If you're any kind of dad whatsoever, you want more for your kids than they even want. But you usually want stuff that they need, not just stuff that they want. You want the big stuff. You want the important stuff. And we are like little kids. We get to say, oh, dear Jesus, I want this one little thing. And he's like, look, I get that, but I'm trying to get you to be a person, not have just stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, look what pleased God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. You know why I love doing what I get to do right here, right now, this? Because God loves this. So I get a few minutes. If all cylinders are firing, I get to be in a spot where I know for a fact scripturally that what I am doing brings pleasure to God. That is a great feeling. And I also know that I get up and read crazy stuff and read you straight out of the Bible. And people go, whatever, dude, that's like thousands of years old. Nobody thinks that anymore. God still thinks it. You know why? Because it's just true. Some things just work. So it may be the foolishness to the people who are so wise and all that. But if you're so smart, why are you listening to me? If you think this is so foolish and this is all so ridiculous, why are you even here? Why are you listening still in your car, in your office, running down some road, whatever you're doing? Why are you listening? Because you are not smart enough. And whatever you've concocted to make life work is not working. And so you're searching. And then something about this crazy story pulls you in. You go, whoa, 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 what is that? That's nuts. If I believe that, I'm going to be like those crazy people. Except that you meet some of these crazy people and they got life, they got joy, they got hope, they got peace, they got heaven, they got forgiveness, they got mercy. And then you go, oh, I can't do this anymore. I want what that guy's got. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. Hear Paul writing again, Galatians 1, verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So it's not about everyone else being happy. If you make sure God is pleased with you, you are going to have a better life. Everyone may not like you, but it's going to be better because it's working vertically, it's working internally, and then it starts to work horizontally. It's just the basic stuff. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now look at this, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now you say, well, but I'm keeping all the rules. I'm not sleeping with someone I'm not married to. I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm not a drunk. I'm not. You can keep all the rules and still not please God. Does everybody understand how that's possible? It's not about just do's and don'ts, keeping the rules. What pleases him is when you do it out of love, out of respect, out of honor, out of worship for him. It's a relational pleasing. A wife can check off a bunch of stuff and say, well, I know he wants this, he needs this, boom, 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 I did it all. And the guy looks at her and goes, do you love me? Oh, what does that have to do with it? You should be happy I did everything you said you wanted. Oh, that sounds exciting. And is that what a man wants? Maybe some men want that. I don't want that. I want to love her. I want her to love me. I want to crawl on the bed and my feet touch her feet. At some point, you got to understand it is a relationship, a very personal, intimate relationship with God, a two-way deal where he's not just the one doing it all, but where you finally realize, man, he loves me. And then you start responding and reciprocating, and you read the Bible, and he says something nice to you, and you say something nice back. And then you start a conversation, and people say, well, how do you talk to God? You just talk to him. You talk to yourself. How do you do that? Let me read you a few more of these. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And then he goes on and tells what else this is. If you think you're going to show up at church and just somebody give you a checklist and yes, yes, no, no, yes, and I did all the stuff, that's not what this is about. You missed it. And on down in that same chapter, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Talking about Jesus, that everything should be in him. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk, right? And to what? Please God. We told you how to walk. This is how you live out your life and how to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Now, you're not going to like what I'm about to read you. This is where the world pushes way back hard on the scripture. Now, what is the context? You say, I told you I should walk, how you should please God, for you know what the commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God. People come to me and say, can you help me know what the will of God is? I say, absolutely. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it says it right here. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. You want to know what God's will is? There it is. You say, well, I don't want to do that. I get it. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and you're going to do whatever you want to do. I understand that. And a child can be dealt with the same way. You got a kid says, well, you know what? I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. A parent then has a responsibility to ratchet up the consequences and say, okay, well, this is your tolerance for pain. Here's the pain. This is your tolerance for pain. Here's the pain. And if you love a kid, you discipline a kid. So you have to understand, if you're a Christian and you have locked up and you have gotten stiff-necked and said, okay, God, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Then he has got game you don't know anything about. And when the heat comes, if he doesn't break you and if you don't yield, then your life is over. He died to get you alive, so he's got tremendous investment in this. So think about why you have so much heat on you. It may be you are bringing the heat on yourself. Hebrews 11, on the last lap. Hebrews 11, this chapter's about faith, in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. So now this guy, very rare deal, never died. God just came after him and took him. And then why did this happen to him? For before he was taken, he had this testimony. Why did God do that for Enoch? Simple little phrase, that he pleased God. Wow, I like that Enoch guy. He pleases me. I think I'll just go get him. I don't want him to die. I'll just get him. And then look at the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now listen to me, if you didn't get anything else till now. If you have any desire whatsoever to please God, it is going to involve faith. And you say, well, then what does that mean? It means that when you get to the place where you lock up and the enemy says, no, you have to do, you are my slave, you do it. I say when I say to do it. Then that moment when your flesh says, yeah, you're right, that's all I am, that's what I'm going to do, then something has to kick off in your brain where you say, okay, God, this is it, right here, right now. I have to believe that greater is he who is in me than this lunatic who's in the world trying to destroy my life. And you take a step of faith. You believe that you don't have to do that anymore. You look for the exit signs. You walk away. You get out. And in that moment, the power of God kicks in and you get away. You go, whoa, how'd that happen? I never been able to get away. Because you believe that you were stuck. You didn't believe you could escape. At some point, you have to believe the right thing, not the wrong thing, not the lies anymore. So if you're going to please him, it's going to involve faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
If you please. And the more I thought about this word please, isn't it interesting? I go up to somebody and go, would you please help me with this? Now, what am I saying? I would be pleased if you would do what I'm asking you to do. So if you please, who are you pleasing? You're pleasing me. So how about going to God and say, God, please help me. You say, well, what's that going to do for him? You're finally yielding to him. And if he's in control, that is ultimately going to please you. Because that's what you really are after, whether you know it or not. You were made in the image of God. You were made for God. You were made to love him, serve him, know him, walk, talk with him. And when that all begins to happen, you've got a life you never dreamed and you're going to lose if you don't figure this out. Figure out a way to please him, not everybody else, not even yourself. Please him and see what happens.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.